Gracious Father, we thank You so much for tonight, for the Word of God. We thank You, Father, that the Holy Spirit that led the men of old to write the Scriptures will lead us to understand. Bless us now as we open Thy Word. Help us to understand clearly the prophecies for these last days is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going into Daniel 2, Daniel 3, Revelation 13. We're going to look at today in Bible prophecy. We're going to come right down to today to see the times in which we are living, because we are truly living in the last days of this earth's history. Tonight we're going to talk about a man who had a dream. And in his dream he saw this great image: head of gold, chest of silver, thigh of brass, legs of iron, feet part of iron and part of clay. And how this image, how this dream involves everyone here tonight. But let me ask you a question as we get started. Have you ever had a dream at night and woke up the next morning and you had forgotten the whole dream? Anyone? Some time ago I had a dream. Middle of the night I got up and I thought, you know, I need to write this down. This is important. And I thought, no, I'll remember this when I wake up. Woke up the next morning, I had forgotten the whole thing. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a man who lived many, many years ago, and that happened to him. He had a dream that involves the whole world, and he forgot the dream. Now, there's three reasons why people dream. Number one, it could be from God. Number two, it could be from the devil. Or number three, you might eat too much before you go to bed at night. Now, I'm sure there are other reasons, but those are the three main reasons why people dream. Tonight, as we go into the Bible, in Daniel 2, we're going to talk about King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon. And I want you to do something, because you're going to hear clue after clue tonight about this man with the number 666. So every time you hear me mention the word Babylon, and I'm going to be talking about literal Babylon, that was a kingdom, I want you to apply what I share with you about literal Babylon with what is happening today. Let me tell you why. Because we are living in spiritual Babylon tonight. Revelation 18 actually says, "Come out of Babylon, my people." Now, what does the word Babylon mean? The word Babylon comes from the word Babel, which goes way back to the Tower of Babel when they tried to build that great big tower into the kingdom of heaven. The word Babylon means confusion. God does not want us to be confused. But now there's a difference in confusion and conviction. I've had people to come to me at times and say, you know, I am confused, when in reality they were very much convicted about something in God's Word. So don't confuse the two. So tonight, as I mentioned Babylon, compare it with what is happening today. The number 666 falls short of completeness. The complete and perfect number in the Bible is the number 7. It's amazing how many times God uses the number 7 in the Bible. Seventh day, 7 plagues, 7 candlesticks, 7 angels, 7 stars, 7 churches, 7 spirits of God, 7 horns, 7 eyes, 7 seals, 7 trumpets. And we could go on and on and on, because that's God's perfect number. That's why God gave the number 666 to a man, because it falls short of completeness. We're going to look at it in detail. The book of Daniel, chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles, write it down. If you don't have your Bibles tonight, bring them tomorrow morning, tomorrow night. You see, the prophecy of Daniel, chapter 2, spans the centuries from Daniel all the way down to the return of Jesus Christ. It is the most remarkable prophecy because it is the most comprehensive and the first prophecy to give a consecutive history of the world from Daniel to the end of the world. Let's find our setting. Daniel chapter 2. Notice what's happening here. Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, now he was the king of Babylon, dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Talking about dreams, here he is. He has a dream. It troubles him. He cannot sleep any longer. But notice what the king does in verse 2. It's kind of interesting. It says, then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. Isn't it interesting? Here's a man so powerful. He's the king of Babylon, ruling the whole world. And he calls for the magicians and the soothsayers and the... tells you what kind of man he was. He was a worshiper of pagan gods. He broke every commandment of God. He had no regard for God whatsoever. But you know what's interesting about Nebuchadnezzar? Before he died, he became a changed man. I'm going to talk about it a little later on. And he'll be in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't it amazing the power of God to change people's lives? But here he is. He calls for these people. Now let me share something with you about these guys. You've got magicians. The magicians were men who practiced magic. They were fortune tellers, casters in nativities. Astrologers were men who pretended to tell the future by the study of the stars. Sorcerers were such as pretended to communicate with the dead. Now we have the same things today. You think about it. We've got our horoscopes, we've got our Ouija boards, we've got our psychics, we've got our fortune tellers, and even some well-known churches are involved in spiritualism and devil worship. It's kind of interesting. The other day I was listening to one of these commercials that came on, and you've probably seen them. Call in today and get your tarot reading, right? You ever heard that? You know what I'm talking about? But the one I heard the other day was unique because it was, call in today for your reading. I have a message from God. Kind of interesting how they change the wording. I've got a message from God for you. Friends, do you know where you go to get messages from God? Not to people, but to the Word of God. Amen? That's where you should get messages from the Lord. So we've got the same things today. Nothing has changed. Solomon put it this way. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. Look at verse 3 of Daniel 2. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. Now, there's one problem. The king cannot remember what he dreamed. Now, let's say after the meeting tonight, you come up to me and you say, John, I had a dream last night. I say, all right, tell me what you dreamed. If you tell me what you dreamed, I can make up any kind of interpretation. But if you look at me and you say, I cannot remember the dream, I want you to tell me what you dreamed, what I dreamed. Now, that's impossible unless God revealed it to me, you see. So here are these magicians and these soothsayers and these sorcerers. And they say, King, tell us what you dreamed. And then it says this in verse 6. He said, but if you will show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell the servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. There's a little problem. They cannot do it. There's no power greater than the power of God. There's no power that can do this. That would be a miracle. It'd have to come from God. Well, look what happened. Verse 12. For this cause the king was angry. He was very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The king was so angry with these guys, he's about to wipe them all out. But there's a little problem. Next verse, look what happened. The decree went forth that the wise men should be slain and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain also. You see, Daniel and his companions were prisoners down in Babylon. It's an interesting study. When you go into the book of Jeremiah, you find out why God's people were down in Babylon in the first place. They had rebelled against God. They had broken His commandments, the majority of them I'm talking about. And because of that, God allowed Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to bring these people down into Babylon. And here was Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego going to school in the school of Babylon. You got to read the first two chapters, first chapter, to find out what all happened with those guys. It's kind of interesting. But here's a problem. They're going to destroy them all. The king's so angry. Daniel did something next that was unheard of. Back in those days, if you went before a king, you better have a good reason, because if you don't, they'll take your head off. So Daniel finds out what's going on. He goes before the king and he says, King Nebuchadnezzar, if you'll give me time, I'll tell you what you dreamed and what the dream means. And I'll tell you, that was faith. Amen? To be able to go before the king. Daniel was so close to God. He had so much faith in God. He knew God could do it. God is the God of impossibilities. Amen? And friends, the sooner we learn that lesson that God can do anything, boy, what an experience we can have with Jesus Christ. Look what happened. Verse 17, then Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Now, I just called them Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, right? Because those are the names we recognize. Have any of you ever heard the name Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Those were the names that followers of God. They were true children of God. And those names have a meaning. Let me just share with you, give you a little history before we go on here. Hananiah means Jehovah is gracious. Mishael means he that is a strong God. Azariah means Jehovah helps. And the name Daniel means God is my judge. But the king had their names all changed. Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar. Shadrach means inspiration of the sun. Meshach means of the goddess Shaka, and Abednego means the servant of the shining fire. You see, these were all pagan names. But let's use those names because that's the names the Bible uses, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. So Daniel goes to his companions, again, look at verse 18 of Daniel 2, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Now, friends, I want to tell you, this was probably one of the greatest prayer meetings in history. Daniel goes to his companions, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and he says, we got to pray. Let me tell you something. When you start praying, things start happening. Amen? Oh, I love it. The way God... Did you know that God answers all prayers? Did you know that? He says yes, He says no, and sometimes He says wait. But He answers. God answers. And we're going to find out, here's Daniel with his companions, and they're praying, and something happens. Look what happens in Daniel 2 and verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. God answers prayer. But now the next thing that takes place, you got to listen to this and watch this. Because one of these days, we're living in spiritual Babylon. One of these days, we may have to come before someone, and we may have to give an answer for the hope that is in us. You know, Daniel was probably tempted to say to the king, hey, king, look at me. I can tell you everything. You know how some people are like that? But I want you to notice what he did. In Daniel 2, look at verse 26. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Verse 27 of Daniel 2. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men? Notice what he's doing. He wants the king to realize that the sorcerers, that the soothsayers, the magicians... means nothing. So what he says is this. the secret which the king hath demanded. Cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? Well, you know what the king's answer was to that question. He's thinking back, they couldn't tell me anything. Look what he says next. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Don't miss it. Daniel gave God all the glory, all the praise, all the credit. Amen? And that's what we should be doing. What would happen if every one of us, when we talk with people, just glorified God and told them, man, God is so good. Look what He's done for me and look what He's done for you. And there's something that happens when you praise God. Do you know that? Especially in front of other people. Daniel says there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. Look at verse 28, because this is the verse that involves every one of us. But there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in thee. What's the last, next two words? Latter days. This story, this vision, this dream, this interpretation is for the latter days. Friends, I want to tell you something. If you were here the other night, you learned from the Bible that we are living in the latter days. Amen? The last days of Earth's history, before Jesus comes back. Look what happened next. Verse 31, Daniel 2, verse 31. Daniel speaking to the king, and he says this, Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. Now, friends, try to imagine what's happening right here. Daniel is talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he's telling him what he dreamed. If he's right, then I'm sure that king's sitting there or standing there and thinking, oh, that's exactly what it was. And it's all coming back now. Daniel says, King, you saw a great image. Verse 32, or verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold. Oh, that's right. His breast and his arms of silver. His belly and his thighs of brass. His legs of iron. His feet part of iron and part of clay. Boy, that's exactly what the king dreamed. And then Daniel says this, Thou sawest till that a stone, a rock, was cut out of the mountains without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, there of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. This is exactly what the king dreamed. He saw this image, head of gold, chest of silver, thigh of brass, legs of iron, feet part of iron and part of clay, and then he saw a rock cut out of the mountains that came down and it smote the whole image. Daniel's right. That's exactly what I dreamed. Now the big question the king was asking, what does it mean? Verse 37 of Daniel 2. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Listen to what Daniel says to King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, you are the head of gold. Now that made him feel pretty good. Here's this old pagan king, and he's told that he's the head and not the tail. I'm sure that made him feel good, you know. Hey, I'm up here. I'm the head of gold. Boy, this is great. Slight problem. Next verse. Verse 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Hey, wait a minute. I'm sure the king was thinking in his mind, now this part of the dream I don't like, that somebody's going to come along and take my place. Now don't miss it. Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, you are this head of gold. Babylon ruled the world. Listen to this. According to history, Babylon ruled from 605, 606 B.C. all the way down to 538 B.C. Just like God said it would happen, it happened. And then in verse 39, he said, after thee shall arise another kingdom. The chest of silver, the Medes and the Persians came down in 531 or 539, destroyed Babylon and ruled the world from 539 down to 331 B.C. Still in verse 39. And another third kingdom of brass which shall bear rule over all the earth. In 331, the Grecian Empire, led by Alexander the Great, came down, destroyed the Medes and the Persians, and Greece ruled from 331 all the way down to 168 B.C. Verse 40. And the fourth kingdom, the legs of iron. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Right on time, 168 B.C., the Roman Empire comes in, destroys the Grecian Empire, and Rome rules the known world. And Rome ruled from 168 all the way down to 476 A.D. Which kingdom was in power when Jesus was born in Bethlehem? The Roman Empire. They ruled right on into 476 A.D. Now here's what's amazing. This prophecy was written down before it happened. You know what that means? This book I hold in my hand is not just another book, but it's the Word of God. Amen? And we can believe in it. That's why I'm a Christian today, because the prophecies of this book happened just like God says. Babylon ruled the world. Medo-Persia ruled the world. Greece ruled the world. Rome ruled the world. And then God added in verse 41, look at it, Daniel 2:41, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of clay, the kingdom shall be divided. We're down in the 2 feet now. He said it shall be divided. How many toes you got on your 2 feet? Somebody say 8? Oh, 10, okay. You're supposed to have 10, right? 2 feet, 10 toes. Just like the Bible said, we're down in the 2 feet. Amazingly, in A.D. 476, Rome was divided, not into 4, not into 6, not into 8, but into 10 kingdoms of Western Europe. Just like God said. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I love Bible prophecy. But wait a minute. In this same prophecy, there's a word, some verses, a verse that will stop Russia, that will stop China, that will stop the United States of America from ever ruling the whole world. People have tried since the time of Rome and it was divided. Men have tried to rule the world and they have not accomplished that feat because the Bible says it would never happen again. Listen to it. You're in verse 43. It says, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And that has happened. People have mingled all over the world with each other. But here's the verse. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Just a few words here that stops Russia, stops the United States, stops China or anyone else from ever trying to rule the world. It cannot happen because the Bible says it can't happen. Prophecy. But now wait a minute, we've got something else. Remember, head of gold Babylon, chest of silver Medo-Persia, thigh of brass Greece, legs of iron Rome, 10 toes Rome divided. There was something else in that dream. What was it? Oh, the rock cut out of the mountains without hands. Listen to it, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces, consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. He was talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. way back in 500 or 605 BC, and it brings us all the way down till the 10 divided nations of Europe, right down till today, and everything God said happened just like God said it would happen. God never misses, amen. Magicians, tarot readers, they might be 70%, they might even be 85%, but they are never 100%. God is 100% correct. And He also promised He would come back soon, amen? And that's going to happen also. But look what happened. Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar, this guy was some guy. He was thinking, you know, all through this, as Daniel was telling him about this dream, he's thinking about it, and he realizes, now wait a minute, I'm the head of gold. I'm a pretty great guy. So he gets a bright idea. He builds this image, has this image built. It's 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and guess what he makes it out of? Come on, gold. He's the head of gold. And then the Bible says he places it down here in the plain of Dura. You see, he placed it in the plain of Dura because no matter where you were located, you could see that great image, 90 feet high. I don't know how high this place is here, but 90 feet high goes on up there and 9 feet wide. And when the sun would shine on that gold and that image, boy, it could be seen for miles and miles around. But he decided he would do something. King of Babylon, he decides he's going to have a dedication service, and he calls for all the governors, the princes, and all the people from all the provinces to come around. Some historians believe that there could have been as many as 1 million to 4 to 6 million people present at that dedication service. So it was a big, big to-do. And this is what the king said. When they came, he said, all right, we're going to have a party now. And here's what we're going to do. In verse 5, it gives a list of all the musical instruments. I don't know if your instruments are mentioned here, but verse 5 gives a list of all the musical instruments, and he said, when the music starts playing, I want you to bow down in front of the image. Now, this is kind of interesting. Babylon, being the head of witchcraft and spiritualism, it's interesting to note that they used music to entice the people into sinning against God. Now you think about that one. When I became a Christian some years ago, no one had to tell me that some of the music I was listening to was wrong. I just knew it was wrong. It became a thing, the Spirit revealed it to me. And my wife and I went out and we burned albums and we threw tapes and got rid of it because we knew it was wrong. But what shocked me was, as I started visiting the different churches, some of the music that I heard in the churches was the same music I heard in the bars and the taverns. The only difference was they used words about Jesus. Think about that one. Now, there's nothing wrong with good music. Don't get me wrong. There's good music, there's music from the Lord, and there's satanic music. And in this particular case, in Daniel 3, the devil is going to use music to cause the people to sin against God. Now, here's what happens. The music starts playing. The people fall down in front of the image. Now, don't miss this. If you came here tomorrow night, and I had an image up here in the front, and I said, all right, they're going to start playing the music. When they start playing, I want everyone to bow down. What would you be doing? What would you be doing? Walk it out. Okay, somebody's going to leave. You should. You should get out of here, you know, if you come into a situation like that. Get out of here. But wait a minute. What would be happening? We would be breaking which commandment by bowing down in front of an image? Okay, the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment says, thou shalt not make unto thee graven images and bow down and worship them. But in reality, when you break one, you break how many? You break them all. You break them all. So here they are. They are in the process of sinning against the God of heaven by kneeling down in front of that great image and praying to it. Basically, that's what they were doing. So the music plays. It starts. Everybody's down on their knees. Millions of people bowing down. Remember in Revelation where it says that there will be an image to the beast and the world will worship it? Ah. In Daniel's day, they were breaking the first two commandments. What about in our day? Don't miss it. We're going to talk about that tomorrow and Sunday, how that's happening again. But here they are, and they're bowing down in front of this image, but something happened. There was three men, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, are standing up tall. Do you know what the punishment is if you don't listen to the king? The punishment in Daniel 3 is you will be thrown into a fiery furnace. Boy. Do you know what the punishment is in Revelation 13 for those who refuse to follow the Antichrist? The Bible says they will not be able to buy nor sell. Ooh. Both of them sound pretty rough, right? But here's what's happening. The people are bowing down in front of the image. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego are standing up tall. They know what's going to happen. Now, friends, anybody ever heard of the word compromise? If there was ever a time to bend down and tie your shoes, it was about that time. You think about it. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego could have said, now we know we shouldn't worship this image, but I tell you what, let's just kind of bend over and tie our shoes about now, and we'll be okay. But listen to me. Compromise is deadly. God wants us to be Christians 7 days a week, amen? Not just one day, 7 days a week. Every day, living for the Lord. So here they are. Some people see Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego standing up tall. They go to the king and they say, King, you got some guys over here that they're not obeying you. He said, bring them to me. I want you to notice what they say, because what they say is what we must say one day also. Listen to this. Daniel 3, and look at the last sentence in verse 15. Daniel 3, verse 15. And the king is speaking, and this is what he asked them. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Boy, wouldn't you love a question like that? Who is your God? Boy, I could give a good Bible study to somebody ask that question. But wait a minute. Look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Here's their answer. Verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Hey, they had faith, amen? Our God can deliver us. But look at the next verse. But if he doesn't deliver us, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now let me tell you what happened. And we've got to be like that. When we're brought before people, when we have to give an answer for our hope, my answer should be, my God can deliver me, but if he doesn't, that's all right. I'm not going to sin against my God. They would rather die than sin against God. Now that's a relationship, amen? They had a relationship with God. That's the kind of relationship I must have with Jesus Christ. Such a relationship that I love him so much that I don't want to sin against him. I love him so much that I would rather die than break his word. That's a closeness, amen? Well, the king's had enough. He said, heat it up 7 times hotter. And then he calls for the strong men, Atlas, Hercules, and whoever else, these great big strong macho guys. He says, bind them up, and they tie up Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and he says, take them and throw them into the fire. The king's had enough, and they walk over to the fire, and it's so hot when they throw those men in, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they're all bound up, they throw them in, the fire is so hot, the Bible says, the strong men fall down dead men. Something happens next, though. Oh, I love this. Now, I'm going to try to do this the way King Nebuchadnezzar did it, okay? Remember, he's the king of Babylon. He's had Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. He's looking in there to see if they're burned up yet. And then something happens. Look at verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors. Let me try to do it, because here's the king. He's looking into the fiery furnace. He's had those men thrown in there. His knees are hitting against each other. His teeth are something like that. And this is what he said. I don't know what all he said, but he was all upset. Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? Well, they answered and said unto the king, oh, true, O king. He answered and said, Lord. Are you with me? No, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. When it gets hot, Jesus is right there by our side. Amen. I love it. Oh. No wonder that king said what he said in verse 26. Listen to this. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, what? You servants of the Most High God. Listen to what he said to them. He recognized God as the great God of the universe. Wow. Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and kings, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither was their coat changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They came out of that fire smelling like roses. I love it. That's the kind of God we serve, amen? Now don't miss this. If I am faithful to my God, and I walk with my God, no matter what we have to go through, He walks by our side. That's a good God, amen? Now how does this involve us? Take your Bibles, go into Revelation. I want you to see something. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. You got to see this. How this involves every one of us here tonight. You see, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had to make a decision. It was either follow God or follow man, right? That was the decision. Revelation 13, look at verse 17. Or verse 16, first of all. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. The same type of situation is going to happen again. Either we're going to follow God or we're going to follow man. Look at verse 8, same chapter, Revelation 13, verse 8. And he says this, "And all." How many people does that include? Revelation 13, 8. "And all." That's everybody, isn't it? "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship." Wait a minute. It has something to do with worship. "Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Two groups. If my name is in the Lamb's book of life, I'm not going to worship the Antichrist. If my name's not in the Lamb's book of life, I'm going to worship the Antichrist. I've had people to tell me, "Well, you know, I'm not a Christian. I'm not into this religious stuff, so I'm not going to be bothered by this." Oh, yes, we will be. It doesn't matter whether we're Christian or not when it comes to being involved in this. We're all involved in this thing. Either we're serving God or we're serving man. Two groups. Look at Revelation 14. Here's the other group. Revelation 14, verse 12. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Oh, what did the verse say? They have faith in Jesus and they keep the commandments of God. What were the people doing in Babylon when they knelt down in front of that image? What were they breaking? The commandments of God. Here it says God's people in the very end of time will be following Jesus, but they will be keeping the commandments of God. Just like it was in literal Babylon, it will be the same in spiritual Babylon. Look at Revelation 18. Revelation 18, beginning with verse 1. Let's really bring it home tonight. Here it is, Revelation 18, verse 1. "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying," what's the next word? "Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." How far-reaching was the influence of Babylon? Look at verse 3. "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." And then he gives this command in verse 4. "I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, come out of Babylon, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Come out of Babylon, my people. What does it mean? Either we're going to serve God and receive His mark in our foreheads, that means in your mind, or we're going to serve this man who has a number 666 and receive His word, not God's word, but His word, in our minds. There's no in between. We're either on God's side or we're on man's side. And that's why the apostles were able to say what they said in the book of Acts chapter 5. They said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Let me take you to the screen, share with you a few slides. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Quick review. In his dream, he saw this great image, head of gold, chest of silver, thigh of brass, legs of iron, feet part of iron and part of clay. A rock cut out of the mountains without hands. Jesus is the rock of ages. Amen. What a dream. Involves every human being from that time all the way down to today. He placed that great image in the plain of Dura, commanded the people to bow down and worship and break the commandments of God. The story is, we've already talked about it, they were thrown in the fiery furnace, but right there in the fiery furnace, Jesus was with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He'll do the same for us. We walk with Him, He'll walk with us. Now you've got to understand Daniel 2, the image, in order to understand what we're going to study tomorrow and Sunday. This builds up, Daniel 2, Daniel 3 builds up to Daniel 7. Then Daniel 7 builds up to Revelation 13, gives more information on that. Babylon ruled the world. Media Persia, Greece, Rome, Rome divided. We are living right now in the 2 feet, right before the rock that's cut out of the mountains comes down. We're living right here in the divided nations of Europe, right before the second coming. And the Bible is clear, friends. This, you know, this is not popular, what I'm sharing. Did you know that? It's not popular because you know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you that the Antichrist is going to be revealed. And not many people like to hear that. You know why? Because we've been taught for so many years that we wouldn't even be here when the Antichrist comes. How many have been told that? Come on. That's what I was told. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day," what day? The coming of Jesus, verse 1 and 2 is talking about. It says, "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be," what's the word? What does the word revealed mean? It means revealed. And then God says this, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." We're going to speak about that one night, about the temple of God and how the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation, attempts to sit right in the temple of God, claiming to be God. But friends, we're going to identify him. This weekend, tomorrow, Sunday, who is this man with the number 666? Romans 6:16 puts it this way, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." If I follow man, I become his servant. If I follow God, then I become the servant of God. And who wants me to follow man? Well, the next verse, Revelation 12:17, the dragon, that's the devil, was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Notice the wording there. The devil's angry. He makes war. He does everything he can in his power to make us worship a false god. But I want to tell you, if I keep my eyes on Jesus, I cannot fall. Peter learned that lesson, didn't he? Remember the story of Peter walking on water? Man, look at me. And you know what he did? As soon as he started looking at himself, he went down, didn't he? And the first thing he said was, "Lord, save me!" And the Lord pulled him out of the water. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. We've got to look to Jesus and trust in him. Joshua 24:15. Jesus is coming again, and Joshua 24:15 says, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve" who? Serve the Lord. How many here want to be ready when Jesus comes? He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for prophecy. We're living in the closing moments of Earth's history. So much is happening. It's happening so fast that it almost boggles the mind that we see prophecy after prophecy coming to pass just like you said it would happen, and it's happening. Lord, help us to be ready. Not because any of us are worthy, but because Jesus has paid the infinite price for us. Lord, tonight I pray that you'll help every one of us to come to the cross, to come to the cross and accept you as Lord and Savior and put you first in our lives. Oh, Lord, help us. Help me to stand up for your word and speak your truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight, begin to mold and make us, prepare us so that we can be strong just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was strong, and that we can stand up for truth as it is in Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.